Wong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Novak. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on today's program, Brian Lynn reports on a bleaching event on the Great Barrier Reef. Ana Mateo brings us words and their stories on the expression hit the jackpot. Dan Friedel and Jill Robbins have a story on the mental health of college athletes for this weekend's Higher Education Report. Ashley Thompson brings us a story on a tasty Peruvian dish. And I return for a story on this year's winner of the Templeton Prize. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Australian scientists say 91% of coral studied in the Great Barrier Reef this year suffered bleaching damage. Coral gets bleached when ocean temperatures reach unusually warm levels. The damage to the Great Barrier Reef represents the fourth mass bleaching event to happen in the past 7 years, the scientists said. Bleaching in 2016, 2017, and 2020 was blamed for damaging two-thirds of the Great Barrier Reef's coral. The Great Barrier Reef covers about 344,000 square kilometers of area off Australia's northeast coast. It contains about 3,000 reefs, natural structures made by different kinds of coral. The reef also includes more than 900 islands. The latest bleaching event is described in a yearly report recently released by the Australian government's Great Barrier Reef Marine Authority. Coral bleaching can be caused by the effects of climate change, but the scientists said the most recent event was the reef's first bleaching to happen during a La Niña weather period. A La Niña event happens when ocean surface waters cool along the Pacific coast of the South American tropics. This takes place every 2 to 7 years. Coral suffers bleaching as a reaction to heat stress. But scientists hope that most of the coral will recover from the current event, said David Wackenfeld. He is the chief scientist at the country's Marine Authority, which oversees the reef's ecosystem. Wackenfeld told the Associated Press that early signs so far suggest the mortality won't be very high. He compared the latest event to the one that happened in 2020. That event produced mass bleaching, but there was low mortality, meaning the coral largely did not die. The bleaching events in 2016 and 2017 led to quite high levels of coral mortality, Wackenfeld said. Simon Bradshaw is a researcher at Australia's Climate Council Environmental Group. He told the AP the latest report demonstrates that the reef's survival depends on deep cuts in worldwide carbon emissions over the next 10 years. This is heartbreaking. This is deeply troubling, Bradshaw said. It shows that our barrier reef really is in very serious trouble. I'm Brian Lynn.
Now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. And today we talk about being lucky, or having a great success, or both. There are times in our lives when everything seems to go our way. We win big. In other words, we hit the jackpot. In a very literal way, to hit the jackpot means to win a lot of money. A jackpot is the most valuable prize in a game of chance. A lottery is one such game of chance. People buy tickets, but only a few tickets are chosen by chance to win prizes. Some states in the U.S. hold a weekly lottery. The jackpot increases until someone wins it. Some lottery jackpots can get as big as many millions of dollars. Once I heard about a man who really did hit the jackpot. He usually did not play the lottery or gamble with his money. But one day he decided to buy a lottery ticket. And guess what? He won millions of dollars. He really struck it rich. We can also say he made a killing. However, hitting the jackpot does not always deal with money. It can also mean to have a great success, usually involving some luck. For example, if you get a great job simply by being in the right place at the right time, you can say you have hit the jackpot. I know a woman who started dating a very good-looking man. He was also very nice and smart. Then she found out that he was also really rich. She likes to say she really hit the jackpot when she met him. There are some other expressions that have a similar meaning. If you hit it big or hit the big time, you have hit the jackpot. I feel like I hit the jackpot with my job. The work is interesting, my coworkers are nice, and I get to hear from our readers and listeners from around the world. Jackpot! And if you are looking for one place to learn English, you have also hit the jackpot with VOA Learning English. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
In 2021, sports fans around the world learned about the issue of women's mental health in sports from Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka. Osaka is a champion Japanese tennis player. But last year, she said she did not want to talk to news reporters at the French Open tennis competition. After her first match, Osaka decided to withdraw from the event. She said critical questions from reporters made her lose confidence in her ability to play. Later on, Osaka said she felt long periods of intense sadness, known as depression, after winning the U.S. Open in 2018. At the postponed Summer Olympics in Tokyo, top American gymnast Simone Biles did not compete in some of her best events. She said she felt too much pressure to perform. She said she was fighting with herself. Biles left the gymnastics team competition, and the American gymnastic team got the silver medal instead of the gold. Biles did return to competition at the Olympics and won a bronze medal. When the Olympics ended, she said she would take some time off, but has not said whether she will try to compete at the 2024 Olympics in Paris. Almost 1 year later, Osaka is playing tournaments again. She recently made it to the finals of the Miami Open in the American state of Florida.
Osaka and Biles are two of the most famous female athletes in the world. But college athletic officials in the U.S. are concerned that not enough is being done to support the mental health of young women athletes. Many women compete in sports for colleges and universities. Their softball games and soccer games are not seen by millions of people on television. But their health is still an important issue. In addition, some young women athletes are now making money in their sports and feel pressure to present an image and meet the requirements of sports business deals. But this year, the deaths of female athletes showed that mental health is just as important as physical health. Three American college student athletes died by suicide. Katie Meyer was 22. She was a soccer player for Stanford University in California. Sarah Schultz was a 21-year-old runner at the University of Wisconsin. The third was 20-year-old Lauren Burnett, a top softball player on the team at James Madison University in Virginia. Paul Newberry is a writer for the Associated Press. In a recent opinion piece, he wrote, "May their deaths not be in vain." That means he hopes that the officials who supervise college sports consider mental health just as important as physical health. He suggested they should do more to keep young athletes who may be depressed from harming themselves. Jane Timmons Mitchell is a psychology professor at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. She talked with Newberry and said often when people hear about young people killing themselves, they ask why. But she wants people to ask what. What can we do about it? How can we be the most help and the most effective?
Paul Meyerberg writes about sports for USA Today. He said, some groups of large universities with sport ties, known as conferences, are trying to help athletes with their worries and concerns. In late 2021, three large sports conferences joined to work to bring attention to mental health issues for college athletes. The mental health plan is called Teammates for Mental Health. Kevin Warren leads one group of schools called the Big Ten Conference. He said, this initiative is designed to remind all of us, especially our student athletes, to prioritize our mental health and seek professional help when needed. Dr. James Borchers is the chief medical officer for the Big Ten. He told USA Today that adults running college sports need to make mental health a topic that's okay to talk about without any sort of stigma or without any sort of judgment. Newberry said the stories of the three young women should make people renew their commitment to helping those in need. Newberry called for being watchful and to have love and compassion rather than judgment for others. Allison Schmidt won 4 gold medals in her Olympic swimming career. She said she thought about harming herself even after winning medals at the London Olympics in 2012. She said, no one ever wants to feel that way, but this feeling is a reality for many people and their families. Schmidt said, many people who feel as if they want to hurt themselves are scared, but do not know how to get out of the dark place. It took her 3 years after the Olympics to find help from a professional.
Timmons Mitchell said many people felt alone over the last 2 years because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Restrictions made it harder for athletes to stay in contact with friends who were not on their sports teams. As much as they love their sport, Timmons Mitchell said, some athletes felt as if the sport took over their identity. It's really the perfect storm, she said, of the pandemic. Dr. Ashwin Rao is a sports doctor at the University of Washington. During the pandemic in late 2020, he gave a presentation to the American Medical Society for Sports Medicine. He said depression affects young women more often than other groups. Rao said, during the pandemic, it has been harder for coaches and sports doctors to spend time with college athletes. As a result, they have not been able to recognize changes in behavior. He suggested a fix. Spend time around your athletes as best as you can so you know who they are. So if their behavior changes, you can identify it, he said. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
Fusion cooking combines elements of food traditions from 2 or more cultures. Food expert Christopher Kimball recently wrote about fusion cooking that combines tastes from Peru and China. One of the most common foods or dishes in Peruvian Chinese cooking is called lomo saltado. Kimball describes the meat dish as a quick, easy beef stir-fry. A stir-fry is a dish made of foods that are fried quickly over high heat while being stirred or mixed. Stir-frying is a common way of cooking in Chinese food culture. Lomo saltado, Kimball notes, represents Peru's cultural influences, from Incan farmers to Chinese immigrants. Ancient settlers in the Andes Mountains grew peppers and potatoes. Spanish colonizers introduced beef and sheep. Hundreds of years later, a group of Chinese workers came, bringing ingredients such as soy sauce and ginger. They also brought with them the cooking method of stir-frying. Peruvian Chinese cuisine became known as chifa. Lomo saltado is easy to find at chifa eateries. Kimball included a recipe for lomo saltado in his new book, Milk Street Tuesday Nights. The cookbook only includes meals that take 45 minutes or less to prepare. The main focus of Kimball's recipe is the meat. It is cut into long pieces called strips. The raw beef is marinated in soy sauce and then fried over high heat. To marinate means to put meat in a sauce, called a marinade, for a period of time. The sauce softens the meat and adds flavor. Kimball develops flavor by mixing ground cumin into the soy sauce marinade. Kimball says he prefers to use a cut of meat called sirloin tips. The cut is known to have a meaty flavor and lower cost. Kimball also stir-fries onions, tomatoes, and peppers with the beef. Here is how to make lomo saltado. This recipe makes enough food for 4 people. Put about 0.7 kilograms of sirloin tips in a medium-sized bowl. Add in 7 milliliters of cumin and 5 milliliters each of salt and pepper. Then add 30 milliliters of soy sauce. Mix the spices and sauce together and add onto the meat. Let the meat marinate at room temperature for 10 minutes. Then dry the meat and move it to a plate. In a large skillet over high heat, heat 15 milliliters of cooking oil until it begins to smoke. Add half of the meat and cook, turning once, until the pieces are browned on both sides. Move the meat onto a plate. Repeat the process with another 15 milliliters of oil and the rest of the meat. Remove the meat again and put it on a plate. In the same skillet over medium heat, heat additional oil. Add 1 chopped red onion. Stir and cook the onion for about 2 minutes until the pieces start to soften. Stir in 60 milliliters of red wine vinegar and 45 milliliters of soy sauce. Cook for 1 minute until the sauce starts to thicken. Then add 2 pieces of fresh garlic and a sliced jalapeno pepper with its seeds removed. Cook until you start to smell the garlic, about 30 seconds. Add 300 milliliters of cherry tomatoes that have been cut in half. Next, add the cooked meat and any juices from the meat to the skillet. Cook the whole mixture until the meat is just warmed through for about 30 seconds. Finally, taste the mixture and add any salt or pepper needed. At chifa restaurants in Peru, lomo saltado is usually served with French fries. Kimball recommends serving it over rice, which will soak up the flavorful juices. I'm Ashley Thompson.
Nobel Prize-winning theoretical physicist Frank Wilczek has been honored with this year's Templeton Prize. The award recognizes individuals whose life's work brings together science and spirituality. Wilczek is known for his investigations into the laws of nature. In a statement, the John Templeton Foundation said his work changes our understanding of the forces that govern our universe. It said he used physics to address the great questions of meaning and purpose pondered by generations of religious thinkers. The late Sir John Templeton created the prize in 1972. It is one of the most highly valued prizes at more than $1.3 million. Past winners include Jane Goodall, Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Wilczek told the Associated Press, "It's a company I'm very glad to join." He added, "It's encouragement in a direction that I've really only taken up in a big way quite recently, which is thinking about not just what the world is and how it came to be this way, but what we should do about it." Over a long career, Wilczek had many successes. He won the 2004 Nobel Prize, along with David J. Gross and H. David Pulitzer, for their 1973 research explaining the unusual properties of the strong force. Wilczek is currently a physics professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Arizona State University, and Stockholm University. He is also the founding director of Shanghai Jiao Tong University's T.D. Li Institute. He has also written several books that are informed by science but look into spiritual and philosophical questions. His book, A Beautiful Question, asks, "Does the universe embody beautiful ideas?" The Lightness of Being is an examination of what humans are made of. And Fundamentals explores long life extension and immortality. In studying how the world works, we are studying how God works, and thereby learning what God is, he writes in Fundamentals. Heather Dill is the Templeton Foundation president. In a statement, she said, "Like Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein, he is a natural philosopher who unites a curiosity about the behavior of nature with a playful and profound philosophical mind." Born in 1951 in New York, Wilczek earned a bachelor's degree in mathematics from the University of Chicago and a master's degree in math and a doctorate in physics from Princeton. Growing up Catholic, he supported the idea that there was a plan behind existence. But as he learned more about science, he eventually lost trust in traditional religion and rejected detailed dogmas. Still, he took from Catholicism ideas that he has valued throughout his life, including, he told AP, that there's a hidden meaning to things that we can try to figure out, and that you can think in big terms of what it all means and how it came to be. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Dan Novak.